You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Welcome back, Dr. Fiona McCullough. She's a naturopathic physician working specifically with women's health issues, and we've been talking about PCOS. So we were just going through the supplements for PCOS. You have inositol, resveratrol, acetylated cysteine. Was there anything else that would be very good on a regular basis for this issue?
Absolutely. So one of the important supplements, it's sort of a basic, would be omega-3 fatty acid. Because it's quite anti-inflammatory, especially if you're getting up towards the higher amounts of EPA, which is eicosapentaenoic acid, that actually can help with some of the inflammation that we find in PCOS. And it's been found in research to lower testosterone levels in women with the condition.
Okay. Insulin seems to be an issue here. What's the implication? How does that happen?
So that's interesting. So basically, the role of insulin is interesting in PCOS. So it's thought that women who have the condition tend to be metabolic conservers. So they're really good at conserving energy and storing fat. And so in times of famine, they were actually the ones who could still reproduce during those times and survive. But in our current Western lifestyle where we have so much food, being a very good conserver of energy can have negative effects. So what occurs is that women with PCOS, just as I was talking about that fatty tissue change, basically their fat cells tend to overstore fat and then tend to leak fatty acids, which are inflammatory. And when the cells are really stuffed with energy like that, our cells actually learn to stop listening to the messages of insulin. So insulin's main role is to take the sugar from our blood after we eat and then to store it in our cells, either as fat or as glycogen in our liver, but it also blocks us from breaking fat down. So women with PCOS become quite resistant to insulin. They're not able to take up the sugar as well into their cells, and their bodies have to produce more insulin.
Okay. So do you shift the way they eat? Can you use their food to create more stable insulin?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's amazing because the glycemic index is a measure of how much a carbohydrate can raise our blood sugar. But the same researchers who developed the glycemic index also have developed something called the insulin index. And so this actually measures not just carbs, but proteins, fats, carbs, and combinations of foods, and tells us how much those foods raise our insulin levels. So this is actually extremely helpful when you're looking at PCOS, because the more insulin you're secreting, the more resistant you become. So really controlling, knowing what to eat to control those levels of insulin makes a huge difference.
Okay. How do environmental toxins like BPA, do they have an effect on PCOS as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite concerning because they may be one of the environmental triggers. So there's always that predisposition that we have. And then there's something that, you know, pulls the trigger. And BPA, which is in plastic, seems to be one of those things for PCOS. So what they found is that if a rat is exposed to bisphenol A one time when it's pregnant during the key reproductive development days, the baby rat will have PCOS. And then after no further exposures, the baby's baby will also have PCOS and will have it even worse. So it's quite concerning knowing that these compounds are in, you know, basically going through our bodies every day. All women are urinating out BPA every day. It's also been found that women with PCOS urinate out more BPA. There's some reason that you know, they retain it in their bodies more.
Fascinating. Are you a veterinarian as well? No. Have you done work with animals? Okay, I was just wondering if there's a lot of this in, because it'd be in the environment, is it in all sorts of animals as well as humans?
Yeah, you know, I love animals. Like I have pets, but I'm not a veterinarian, but okay. I know they can induce it in animals in lab studies. So I don't know how much it naturally exists in the animal world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just thought that because it's an environmental toxin that can really create havoc with it. I thought maybe there would be a connection. So there's evidence-based natural medicine and supplements that impact all these conditions. Can you just go through them again and wrap up a way to take care of PCOS once you've identified it?
Sure, absolutely. So, of course, the most important thing would be food. So, generally, what I'll recommend is, you know, starting off your meals with protein, and then adding, you know, 3/4 of your plate should be really vegetables, and then a small amount of healthy fats. So that would be something like avocados, olive oil, coconut oil. That would be, you know, a thumb-sized portion of a healthy oil. And then a very small amount of carbohydrates, but healthy carbohydrates. So those would be, options would be squash, sweet potatoes, any kind of root vegetables. Those are great carbs to have. So, and a small portion, so, you know, about 3/4 of a cup. And so if you're starting with that sort of meal structure, you've done a huge amount right there. And then you want to look at, you know, what are the different factors in your case? So are certain supplements going to benefit you? You know, for example, inositol, that can really benefit a lot of women, especially those who don't ovulate, since the ovaries have a lot of inositol in them. But it can also benefit women who are also, you know, just insulin resistant, who want to, you know, prevent diabetes, or who are interested in losing weight. I have a book on PCOS, and throughout the book, there's a quiz on each section, and it allows women to understand which of the different factors are involved in their PCOS, and then to choose supplements based on their unique presentation, because each woman is quite different, and the supplements she might need at age 20 would be completely different from what she would need at age 45, just because that's a completely different time in the lifespan. So, you know, the supplements would be quite individually chosen.
Okay. So can you tell us where to find your new book, 8 Steps to Reverse the PCOS?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's available online on Amazon. It's also in bookstores. In Canada, it is available in Indigo and Chapters, and it's also at many libraries as well.
Okay. And do you have a web page that people can find your work on?
I do, absolutely. So I have my personal website, which is drfionand.com, and that's my blog. I also have a clinic in Toronto, and we have a very active blog on our website there, which is whitelotusclinic.ca, and I'm on Facebook at drfionand.
Okay, wonderful. Lots of different ways to get a hold of you. So we're just about at the end of this interview. Can you just wrap up what you've been talking about today with the PCOS and just bring all that information together?
Sure, yeah. So I think the most important thing to know about PCOS really is that it doesn't end when you go through menopause. And if you feel like something is unusual about your cycles, if you're gaining weight, you know, you've always had trouble losing weight, especially around your abdomen, it might be something to go get screened for, because it's extremely common. And, you know, if you can intervene early and make these changes that really help, you know, prevent some of the long-term problems with PCOS, you can actually really improve your risks for a lot of chronic diseases.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on our show today. It was very informative. And we want to thank Pamela Elgin from the first half of the show, speaking about the microbiome. Today, we'd like to also thank Alan Wishart and producers across the country who are making this show possible. Thank you for listening, and have a healthy and happy week.